Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am getting an update from Enduro Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ENDR and on the OTCQB under the symbol ENDMF. I am chatting with the CEO, Cole Evans, as well as the president of Enduro Metals, William Slack. Now, Enduro Metals focused on the Newmont Lake project in the Golden Triangle. Now, this property is located between Eskay Creek, Snip, and Galore Creek. The company did release news back on January 16th. 5 more drill holes were reported from the Burgundy area, the Burgundy Ridge area, on this project. Now, Will, let's get you in here first. Just a quick recap to bring everybody up to speed on last year's drill program. This is the second round of results that we have received. Just remind everybody about the total program and where the holes were focused in last year's program, please.
Thanks, Corey. Last year, we drilled 25 holes. The majority, 20 of those, were drilled on the Burgundy target, the Burgundy discovery, 5 at McClymont West. So far, we've put out 9 of those Burgundy holes, 5, as you say, last week, and then 4 back in November. We think the rest of the holes come shortly, and we're at the hands of the assay labs. But importantly, Cole can talk you through these results. We're starting to get a better understanding of how that Burgundy system works, the extent of the Burgundy system, and the mineralization there.
Cole, let's dive into these results. Now, 5 holes were released. A big focus seems to be on hole 22. This hole intersected just over 24 meters of 1.24% copper equivalent. It hit 2 other zones as well. So take us through this hole 22. It's really highlighted in this news release. What was so significant about the intersect and the different zones that were hit?
Yeah, certainly, Corey. Well, first off, thanks for having us. Always good chatting with you. The importance of 2222 is, you know, as you mentioned, there's multiple mineralized zones, and particularly, you know, 2 mineralized zones. There's a smaller one that was a 12 meters of 0.61% copper EQ, and then a 24 meter interval of 0.87% copper EQ, including some high grades in there, you know, 2.7 meters of 3.1%, sort of off on its own, a couple hundred meters away from our main mineralizing area. But critically, what people need to understand about this hole and why we think it's significant is, one, is it gives us a good understanding of the parent orientation of the system. It seems to be, possibly steeper than we originally expected, which is important and is positive for the orientation of this kind of deposit and what you'd want from a theoretical mining perspective. And it's, again, going back to the scale and distance between mineralizing intervals. You know, if we look at that 24.2 meters of the 1.24% copper EQ, that's about 170 meters vertically underneath the mineralization, which we think it links up with in the holes from 2021 above it. And, you know, critically, and this was a mechanical and safety decision to shut this hole down. I say to people, like, we never would otherwise have shut it down in mineralization like this. This hole is drilled all the way down to 603 meters. So again, you'll see in that section, this is as deep as we've gone in the system. And it literally ends in 0.59% copper, 0.3 gold, right? With a bit of silver and zinc. Like, these are significant grades. These are the kind of grades that you need to make a deposit work in northwestern British Columbia. And importantly, through all the drill holes, you know, from our last set of results, from our results from 2021, everything that you can see summarized in the last press release, you'll see wherever we encounter mineralization, we have the grades to make a deposit work in northwestern British Columbia. It's a matter of time and drilling that builds size, right? But critically, 2222 shows that this system has vertical legs. The dots have been shown, and it's up to us now. The next step is connecting those dots. And then I think people will really appreciate how big this system truly is when those dots are connected.
So looking a little ahead here to, I guess, an upcoming drill program, are you going to be able to keep chasing this mineralization at depth?
Yeah, I think so. Certainly, you know, our strategy, you know, being a junior explorer and looking at porphyry systems, right? You need to be really careful because these are now an alkalic porphyry system is an order of magnitude smaller than the more traditional calc-alkaline systems that people are familiar with, right? So that's why we targeted it, right? These are the highest grades, the lowest tonnage, still relatively large. But if you look at our strategy, where we've kind of scissored from multiple directions, these diagonal holes, that is, it's meant to optimize coverage, right? We're covering as much ground as possible in as few drill holes as we can. But these deposits tend to be vertically oriented, right? I often say to people, you know, they're like carrots in the ground. They're like big carrots, if you can imagine it that way. And at the end of the day, you have to test the vertical extent. You need to drill vertical holes. We haven't, as you can see here, that hasn't been a focus of us yet. We've had to figure out, okay, well, where does the center of high-grade mineralization seem to be? We think we've got a really strong understanding of that now. And the next step is simply, okay, you got it's time to sink a vertical, you know, deep vertical holes down in through the center of that and see how far this mineralization goes down. We can see that, you know, the true depths, if we just take hole 2222 as an example, I say 603 meters down hole, that's a true vertical depth of over 450 meters, right? And we know the mineralization starts right on surface. So like I said, the dots are there. It's just about connecting them. And you can start to see that, geez, yeah, this system could, you know, has the potential to have a very significant vertical extent, which is critical to making a deposit work in this part of the world.
So what is the size and scale of the mineralization so far? You have the depth component, it sounds like, understood. What about the lateral extent?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up, actually. You know, we tested over strike length of 1,200 meters total in the last drill program. And now that's a mix of, you know, what we call mineralization holes and geology holes. Of course, everyone loves the mineralization holes, right? Because that's what the market's looking for. That's what they can grasp. But if you want to do this the right way, you know, you have to have a few holes where you're answering the geological questions to figure out, okay, where's the bulk of this over much wider area, right? To figure out, okay, where the bulk of this mineralization seems to be concentrating. And, you know, when we see from the results that we've had out there, you're still seeing mineralization, you know, at a smaller scale, you know, 1,200 meters away, just on a couple holes from these deposit model builders, so to speak. But if you look at Burgundy Ridge itself, you will consistently see, and this is critical, consistency. You will consistently see mineralization lining up over at least a 400, and it's, you know, still open on both sides. That's why I say at least a 400 meter strike length laterally. So we're seeing mineralization at a true depth of over 450 meters, and we're seeing it at a true lateral extent of at least 400 meters. In well constrained, I think people, if you have a look at the plan view map from the last press release, and you can see how these things are linking up. So consistency is critical when you're trying to build a deposit, and we're seeing it both a lateral and vertical extent.
So I'm going to post that plan view map, figure 3, from the news release, because it does a good job of outlining where you have already the results back from, and then also where assays are pending. There's a number of assays pending from just further north. You guys really took some bigger step outs up north. What are you testing? What are you hoping to find in these, again, much larger step outs up north?
You know, you look at these types of deposits, and I'm going to use Galore Creek as an example just because it's neighboring to us, and it's a very similar type of system. You look at the central zone, the most important part of that deposit. It's about 2 kilometers in length, and there's areas where it blows out to, you know, be a couple hundred meters of scale and width, and then there's areas where it tapers down to just 20 meters or so, right? You'll consistently see it along those 2 kilometers, but it's varying in blowouts, right? And I think we're seeing a very similar sort of thing here over the strike length in which we've tested. Now, again, being that we're a junior explorer, we need to be drill hole needs to be picked carefully. And you know, we can't just go and start wildcatting all along strike here to chase mineralization. Just wouldn't be an effective use of funds. But we need to focus on these blowout areas where we're seeing, you know, our best grades of mineralization, our biggest intervals, while still answering some of these geological questions that we need to understand where other blowout zones are along these multi-kilometer trends. So that's the gist of why you see those holes further to the northeast.
Okay, thanks for breaking that down. Now, Cole, big picture, when we focus on Burgundy Ridge here, are you guys moving towards a resource here, or is there still just so much more drilling that needs to be done to see where mineralization extends to, and just to learn more about the system, that this is still more just exploration work?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, Corey. I would say we're not moving to a resource on this in the short term. That would significantly, in my opinion, you know, limit what the exploration potential of this is. Every time we drill a hole, as I said, we encounter mineralization that's of the grades that you need to make something work here. And we're only just starting to understand. You know, keep in mind, this target had never been drilled ever in human history. The very first diamond drill hole was in 2019, right? Then we had the COVID year, 2020. Nothing was able to get done up there. And then we had one drill pad in 2021. That's where we had our discovery hole, right? A 300 total mineralized interval, 331 meters of 0.71 copper EQ starting from surface. So this program that we've done in the last year is really the first, you know, program of a decent scale to be able to start to understand what this deposit actually looks like. What are the controls on mineralization, all these different things. So it's very much still in that exploration phase in figuring out where the highest grades in the largest volume of these grades seems to be concentrating. And I feel like we have a much better understanding of that, you know, even as the weeks go by. You know, something that you don't see from this press release, but we managed to, being that we were on the road network this year, we managed to have all of our core from 2022 is actually down at our office in Kelowna as we speak. And we have winter work going on it all winter, doing the hard geoscience stuff, right? The cross section, the level plans, all these different targeting things in really constraining our targeting for hopefully late spring this year. That's going to be weather dependent, of course, right? But that we can be able to get out earlier than we've ever been able to before and really focus on the highest grade portions of the system in what appears to be particular in that southwest end, the largest volumes of that, and then testing that vertical extent. That, in my opinion, is what the market will take notice of, right? It's when you put out these 400, 500, who knows, right? There's companies putting out over 1,000 meter mineralized intervals, right? In these vertical orientations, that's what we need to focus on. Selective drill holes, but very much showing the size that the system can be.
Yeah, fair enough, especially if it carries grade too. One more quick comment regarding these drill results is we are reporting copper equivalent numbers. What's in these copper equivalent calculations is gold, copper, zinc, and silver. But looking over this results table, it's mostly gold and copper carrying the grades, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. It's, you know, depending on where you're at, I always say to people, you know, it's roughly a half and half copper gold from a value perspective. The only reason why we show zinc is up close to the limestone contact on the eastern, you know, eastern portion. So if you're looking at that plan view map, that limestone, that's a big white body of rock, you'll tend to get some pretty appreciable high grade, you know, I'll use from the channel sample, you know, locally over 1 meter intervals where you'll have 4% copper, 4.5 grams gold with 15% zinc in it as well, right? So obviously economically significant. That's just limited in a few areas, but that's why we include those numbers in a few of those spots because, you know, obviously if you got 15% zinc, that's economically significant. You know, and some of that skarn mineralization that happens, that, you know, it's all part of the porphyry system, right? It happens immediately adjacent to it. But yeah, this is by and large, copper and gold is your value and silver is more negligible, but just standard practice to include it in these alkalic systems.
Okay. Now guys, let's just quickly look ahead to the future drill holes that are still to come back from the assay labs. Will, you already broke down what's still remaining, but because we've talked so much about Burgundy Ridge here, let's give McClymont Fault a little bit of attention. Why did you guys drill McClymont Fault? What insights can you give us into what you're hoping to find up at McClymont Fault on this project?
Yeah, Corey, when we talk about Burgundy, we don't want to forget about McClymont. And the five holes we put in there this year are really important. They were focused on the McClymont West area. So this is nearly 2 kilometers to the southwest of where the historic drilling, the historic mineralization was on the property from the 1980s, dating back to the late 1980s, and also the drilling that we did there in the previous couple of years. And, you know, a number of great drill holes from there. Take some highlights. You know, we had 8.85 meters of 31 grams gold, over percent copper. And, you know, corporately, we've identified that we're not getting any value from this area, right? So we're looking at particularly, you know, the board's very aware of that and looking at options of how we can better extract value, particularly from the McClymont area, for Enduro shareholders in the short term. But from a system perspective, when we, you know, getting back to the drilling, is you can see on that McClymont West side, and for reference for your listeners, if you look at slide 22 from our corporate presentation, there's a really good map that that outlines what I'm speaking to here. And when you're looking at that map, what you'll notice is the surface geochemistry of gold in that McClymont West area. You know, this is over 2 kilometer strike length, right? And we had one drill hole in there from 1988. It was about a 75 meter hole where they assayed 2 meters of it. And in that 2 meters, there was 0.6 meters of 73 grams gold, right? That's really all we had to work with. And then, you know, some high grade boulder trains coming down the side of the hill, but nothing in situ. So we went, found this 2 kilometer gold anomaly, again, about 2 kilometers away from where all of our known mineralization is, along the same structure. We've drilled about 2.5 kilometers away from where we were before. And why we think these holes are significant is, you know, even a little bit of success here just completely opens this area up and really then becomes a project in and of itself. It has, you know, 2-3 kilometers strike length. That has the scale you need to make a gold project work in this area. So we're really looking forward to those results. I don't want to speculate about them too much just because, like I said, it's brand new drilling. We've never drilled, not only us, but nobody's ever drilled in the area that we drilled just last year. But we're certainly encouraged by what we've seen visually.
Okay, guys, we'll wrap it up here. I'll post a link to that recent news release that we discussed here, as well as post figure 3 below the interview. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Enduro Metals, and I'll follow up as we get some more of the drill results remaining from last year's program. Will, Colt, thank you again for your time. I will see you guys again today at the VRIC conference. If anybody is swinging by, you can find the Enduro Metals booth at booth 411. Guys, thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.